a peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
We continue. This is Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Now joining us on behalf of Toyota, the official automotive partner of the NFL, is a two-time Super Bowl champion and someone that I'm actually dreading to interview right now because I'm a fan of the New England Patriots, and he made me absolutely miserable and sad twice. And growing up on Long Island, every time the Giants would win a Super Bowl, the teachers would put it in the PowerPoint slides the next day. My friends would no longer be my friends. And quite frankly, I felt like I got bullied growing up as a kid because of you, Eli Manning. So how are you, Eli?
I'm doing great. I think that's a little unfair. I mean, you have six Super Bowl rings. Like, you know, you let us have two. I appreciate the kindness of the Patriots and their ownerships and everything for letting us have two of those championships and not just, you know, winning every time they made it to the Super Bowl.
I interviewed Tyree last year. And I've done some work with Tyree before. I actually, in an older job, had to do some security for David Tyree. And I go, you shouldn't feel very safe if I'm doing the security for you. But every time I talk to a former Giant that made me miserable for two times on Sundays, I always walk away and I go, I can't dislike that person. And I know I can't dislike you because you come off very likable. But you look back at those two Super Bowls. I'm actually more annoyed by the second one than the first one.
Really?
Because the first one, I thought you guys just outplayed them that day. The second one, I really truly thought the Patriots were the better team in that game. And you had the Welker drop, the Branch drop as well. And then we all know the throw that you made to Mario and the great catch.
Yeah. That's an interesting take. I think most Patriots fans would be mad about the first one, the 07 season, because that would have been an undefeated season. Y'all would, you know, you would go down as the greatest team of all time. And now you can't say that. I know it bothers, you know, Tom Brady. I know it bothers a lot of those players. I still a lot of the Miami Dolphins from the 70s, send me some nice notes and thank you for beating them.
So Mercury they can still, Morris.
They can say they're only undefeated team through a whole season. And so, both of them, obviously tight games, very similar in the way they played out at the end and 2 minute drives by us having the ball to go win the game. Obviously one, we needed a touchdown, one, we only needed a field goal, but scored the touchdown. But they're always, you know, well-coached team, great players, Tom Brady, Randy Moss, Welker, just some unbelievable talent on there. But we were able to make a couple outstanding plays and get the win.
Eli Manning here with us. Obviously you come from football royalty and you know what it's like to have expectations and be perceived as that guy. When you won that first Super Bowl, like the next 24, 48 hours after winning that Super Bowl, like just what do you remember for you, how life really changed?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to describe the emotions. You're unprepared for how you're going to react or how you're going to feel. And, you know, there's, just so much work and time, and it's not just for that season. It's years and years of being dedicated to your craft and forming relationships and friendships with teammates and working on your skills, you know, specifically with teammates to get better at things and to all come together for a playoff run where, you know, it comes down to, you know, guys making catches off their helmets or, you know, guys, you know, other teams, you know, dropping passes. And so it's just
subtly you put that in there.
There you go. you know, it's you're emotional, you're excited, but appreciative, and you kind of realize how hard it is that you were able to accomplish that, and you don't take it for granted, because you do not know if it's ever going to happen again. Fortunately, to go through, you know, two experiences with it, and just this kind of the rewards for winning a championship that's what it's all about. Just having that peace of mind for those few days before you get back to work.
Now, someone once told me this, a very serious source, and I need to know if this is true, Eli Manning. Did you get a phone call before the first Patriots Super Bowl from your father, who knows everything about the quarterback position, is a great football prognosticator? Someone told me that he told you to put sticky glue on Tyree's helmet before that game. Is that story true?
That story is not true. Wow. There's some misinformation there. So no sticky glue, all natural. We've been working on that play, actually. We that's how the play was designed. It's in the playbook. Coach Coughlin and Kevin Gilbride, offensive coordinator, put it together. They're like, hey, we got this idea. And we're running it all season. We never got it in the game. We practiced it, never quite got it right. You know, it took a lot of time for the players to buy into, like, hey, offense line, don't block anybody. Eli kind of get tackled and then like escape and then throw it into the middle of the field surrounded by defenders and Tyree just like snag it to the helmet.
Yeah. I heard you called that play ruin Zach Gilb's life. Yeah, that's what it was in practice.
Yes, that's exactly the name of it. That information is correct. So you got that right.
How about that? When we get to this game on Sunday, right, you've been talked about so much. And you look at someone like Brock Purdy. I've called him at times this season a system quarterback. And now I'm at the point where I don't even care how people refer to him, because I've been wrong. The dude's a good quarterback. I'll say that I've been wrong. And this is someone that he is a winner, and that's all he's done pretty much like only a year and a half into his NFL career of playing time. It's amazing, though, how he shouldn't be polarizing. And like, right, we'll get to the Hall of Fame later. Like, you shouldn't be polarizing as well, but the topic becomes polarizing.
Yeah, man, I've been impressed with Brock on how he's come in last year as a rookie and has taken over the quarterbacking job and just looking very comfortable back there. And I think saying he's a system quarterback, I take that as a compliment. That means you know the system. You know, it's one thing, it's like, hey, there's a system there, but if you can't follow the rules and you don't know where to go with the ball, then you can't be productive. He knows the system very well. The ball's coming out on time. He's going to the right spots. He's going through the right reads based on the coverage, and he's throwing the ball accurately. And so that's what you want as your quarterback. And that's what you want to do. You want to get the ball out on time. And he does a great job of doing that. He scrambles around when he has to. You've seen it during the playoff run. He's been down in games where they've said, hey, we got to abandon the run game and we got to throw it. And Brock, hey, ball's in your hands. And he's going out there and produced, drives and got points and won football games. So nothing but great respect for Brock. It's been fun to watch him play. I like watching him play, because he kind of plays how I would play in the system, you know, where, hey, I can't scramble around. I can't create plays like Patrick Mahomes. I have to get the ball out on time, go into the right places and understand what the play I have and where I need to go with the ball to get it out of my hands and get into your playmaker's hands. He's got tons of playmakers, get the ball to him, and he does a great job doing that.
And it's funny, right? He stepped up in that final quarter up against the Packers, the second half when they were trailing up against the Lions, and people still don't want to give him credit. And I know Mahomes is already the dude, the guy. He doesn't score a point, though, in the second half of the AFC title game. And then he tells me after the AFC title game, you know, this year I've learned how to manage the game and just trust my defense. But no one gives a rat's ass when Patrick Mahomes says that. No one's calling, and I wouldn't call Mahomes a game manager, right, but no one's calling him a game manager when he said that's what he's learned this year.
Yeah, and I think
it's really stupid how the way we talk about quarterbacks.
Exactly. It is. I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, Patrick is obviously he's proven himself over the years as just one of the great playmakers.
Yeah.
And, you know, this year it's been different. And in all season, they haven't been that explosive offense that they've been the last couple of years. And he's got young receivers. He's trying to get them up to speed. You see them coming along as the season's been going on. Obviously, has Travis Kelce, who's always a threat. But, you know, he's had to, you know, like you said, trust his defense, find ways to win games. Don't force things. He doesn't necessarily have great confidence, I think, in all his receivers where he's letting it fly. He's kind of waiting to see if they're open. And because of that, he's holding it and they're, you know, not being as productive throwing the football, but, you know what? He's finding ways to win. Their defense, Steve Spagnuolo and that defensive staff has done a great job stopping some of these high-powered offenses. And that's all it takes. You got to figure out a way to win. If they get down in the game and they want to put the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands, say, hey, go win it, go make plays, go create, he can do that. And usually he does do that.
The family side of you, Eli Manning, right? We get to see a little bit of it with who you've been. I've seen you at the hockey games, although sometimes you're at the Ranger games and then you're at the Devils games.
I'm a fan of both.
As a Ranger fan, you can't be a fan of both.
You can't say I can't be a fan of both. I can. I didn't grow up around hockey. I didn't have a team. I kind of get placed in New Jersey. I like the Rangers. I like going to the games.
Well, can you root for Ole Miss in Alabama? Can you root for both?
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to root. How about next year? I mean, Texas is going to be in the SEC. I'm going to root for Ole Miss. I'm going to root for Texas. I got a nephew playing. I can root for both.
So the nephew side of it, we all know, obviously, Arch Manning. And Sark comes out the other day. And to no surprise, he goes, Quinn Ewers is our quarterback. Give me the uncle perspective of that. With the transfer portal, it opens back up in April. Like, what do you advise kind of Arch to do? Do you stay patient? Do you enter the transfer portal and go start somewhere else?
No, he picked Texas because that's where he wants to be. That's where he wants to play football. He likes Coach Sarkisian and his offense and what they're doing. So that was he knew last year that he was going to go. He's in a red shirt, get some playing time. And, you know, the plan was Ewers would maybe go in the NFL, but he's there. It's another year for Arch to mature, learn the offense, get bigger, stronger in the weight room. And always be prepared to play, and you never know what's going to happen. And so he's got to be ready. If not, then he, you know, gets some playing time here and there. And he's got 3 more years of eligibility at a great school, at a great, you know, football program on the rise. So I think that was, the fact that you can transfer so easily now doesn't mean you should do it just because you're not playing right away. A lot of quarterbacks when I was in college, that was always a game plan. It's like you red shirt, you sit a year, you have 3 years of eligibility. That's what I did at Ole Miss, and I think it helped me. And so I think Arch, I know he wants to play. He's itching to get in there, but being patient, continue to learn can be very helpful as well.
So Arch isn't going horns down to Texas. He's staying. He's horns up.
I mean, you have to ask him, but I would not suggest that. I think he's definitely staying there. He's having a great time, loving the program, the school, and getting better every day.
How about Daniel Jones? What do you think he could be as a quarterback, Eli Manning?
I have a lot of confidence in Daniel. I appreciate the way he works, the way he takes his job very seriously. There's always been things he's had to improve on every year, and he's gone out there and improved on those things and gotten better and made a conscious effort to do that. And so I know he's coming off the injury. He's going to come back stronger and better than ever. I think he can, obviously the year before had a great year, led him to a playoff win. I think he can do that and do more with the Giants.
All right. How about the Taylor Swift component of this game? I love it. I don't understand why anyone would not like it. I think it brings a lot more attention to football too. And I don't think football needs any more attention, but this has been a fun storyline between Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
Yeah. I think, like you said, it brings more eyes to the game. I see it firsthand in my own family. I have 3 daughters, 12 and 10 and 9 years old. And when we're watching football, if we're watching the Chiefs, they're usually not partaking in the game. The Chiefs are on. All of a sudden, I got 3 girls sitting on the couch with me watching football. And, even though they're looking for Taylor Swift, they're watching the game. They're seeing Patrick Mahomes. They're seeing other quarterbacks. They're getting involved in the game. And so it's fun for them. And it's fun for me to get to hang out with them and watch some football.
So Eli Manning joins us on behalf of Toyota, the official automotive partner of the NFL. Tell us what you're doing today with Toyota.
Yeah, so I've actually had a relationship with Toyota going on 20 years now through their Toyota local greater New York area dealers. And so here, Toyota's really showed up big time here at the Super Bowl with a lot of fan experiences. And you can go to the Super Bowl experience. Toyota's a presenting sponsor there for opportunity to play games, win prizes, win tickets to the Super Bowl next year in New Orleans, while also checking out their new Tacoma that's hitting dealerships right now this month. So also opportunity, if you visit their space at the Super Bowl experience, you can meet some players. I'll be there tomorrow, 11 a.m., but there'll be current players and some has-been players like me running around. So Toyota's, they've done a great job. Their new automotive sponsor of the NFL, and happy to continue the relationship with them and on this journey as they enter this new chapter in their sponsorship with the NFL.
I think you're a Hall of Famer. I know your eligibility opens up next year. Do you think you'll get in on the first try?
I have no idea. So it's one of those things. It's out of my hands, out of my control. all the work that has been done. And that was 4 years ago, yeah, and now on the playing field. So if I get in, it'd be a great honor.
Well, how about this? Can you make the case for Tiki Barber, why he should be in the Hall of Fame? I work with Tiki. He's a coworker, and he's made it the farthest he ever has in the process, but still hasn't got in the Hall.
Yeah, no, Tiki was an unbelievable player. Saw it firsthand my first 3 years in the NFL. I mean, it was, hey, get the ball to Tiki, running the ball, catching the ball. He was the full three down back and did it all, had some unbelievable years, those first years, with the Giants. And so, definitely a case for him to be in the Hall of Fame.
Well, he's the great Eli Manning. Once again, Eli Manning joins us on behalf of Toyota, the official automotive partner of the NFL. Eli, I'll admit it. It was nice talking with you. it was good to see you. Thanks so much for doing that.
All right. Appreciate it. A lot of fun.
You got it.
Thank you.
There he is, Eli Manning, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, it's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And the question is from John in Omaha, who says, Zach, who do you have winning the Super Bowl? Well, you could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I'm taking the San Francisco 49ers to take care of business up against the Kansas City Chiefs by a score of 31-24. Coming up next, Stephon Gilmore and Brandon Cooks join us both live on the desk here at the Mandalay Bay Convention Center in Las Vegas.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow, that makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years, and I still don't know. Right now, we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world, and we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, welcome back in. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. These guys have been teammates. They've also gone up against one another in a Super Bowl, and that, of course, from the Dallas Cowboys, Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore here with us at the Zach Gelb Show on behalf of He Gets Us. Gentlemen, yeah, appreciate you coming on. Thanks for doing this.
No, thanks
appreciate
for having
you,
us.
Man. Thank you, man.
So, Stephon, first, I got to say thank you because I'm a Patriot fan.
Okay, okay.
That Super Bowl up against the Rams, it was close, but it didn't feel like it should have been close. And then right when the Rams started to move the football, you found a way to go make a play and make an interception and get that Super Bowl trophy for New England. So kind of relive that interception and what a big-time playoff runs you had in your career in New England.
Man, I don't even want to talk about it because, it's a weird – it's my boy beside me, yeah, man. It was a great win because, obviously, we went the year before. We lost to Philly. And I told myself, like, if we ever get back, you know – I got to do whatever it takes to, you know, take advantage of this opportunity because, you know, you never know when you go get back. And, it's hard to get back to the Super Bowl. So, yeah, it was a great, you know, game, great defensive game for us. We played great on defense. Was able to stop them to 3 points. So, and that's what it took to win that game.
And for you, Brandon, I've always felt like you've been a really underrated player. Like, I think everyone knows what you're capable of and what you've done in the league, but that I know it was only 1 year in New England, yeah, but for you, everywhere you've gone, you've had success. Where do you kind of think the league should view you as? Because I don't think you get enough credit.
I mean, obviously I'm going to, you know, say just the numbers that I put up, you know, all throughout my career. I mean, you put them side by side, they up there with the best. But I think for me, it's just, I just do my job, play my game to the best of my ability and all that other stuff. You know, I kind of tune that out. You know, I don't talk about myself. I'm not flashy about it. Blue collar worker, get the job done, and help my team win.
So I got to ask you guys this. And I just want to know, what the heck happened with Malcolm Butler in the lead up to Super Bowl 52?
I'll never be able to talk about that.
But do you know what happened?
No. I know what happened, but I ain't never talking about it.
Why? Bill's not coaching next year.
No, it don't matter.
You guys don't play for Bill anymore?
It's out of respect for just, you know, everybody that was involved in that situation.
Do you think we'll ever find out the truth?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
It's amazing. In the world we live in now, there's a lot of things that it's very tough to keep a secret. Now, that's one of the things in the history of the NFL that no one has a damn clue what happened. And anytime you think you have a clue, you get told that's not what happened. It's wild.
Man, that game make me so mad.
Sick to my stomach.
That's the worst we played on defense the whole year. And offense put up, 50 points? I don't even know.
And 505 yards passing.
Man, come on, man. We should have won that game. Easy.
It's actually, I thought it's the best Super Bowl Brady's had. And it wasn't a win.
And my boy B, if they had B, he would have threw for 700.
Yeah.
got knocked out.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins. I remember that.
It's man, bro.
But, it's part of life, but.
Those games hurt you because you like for right the rest there, of your life, man.
Yeah.
Then you don't win it. You know, it's tough.
Well, let me ask you this, because you played with Jared Goff. Yeah. I know he's not at the Super Bowl, but right away you see the natural smile that comes up right when I bring up Jared Goff. What type of quarterback is he? Because it's amazing. Like, Brock Purdy's in the Super Bowl. No one wants to give Brock Purdy any credit. Jared Goff had a great year, and people are still going to say, he's not that great of a QB.
I don't understand. I just really don't understand how people can have a great year, and you say that system, this system, that. At the end of the day, the guy making plays. You look at that game versus the Niners. You look at him, what he's been doing all year. He's playing at a high level. He left a team, went into a new system, and still do it. So you got to give Jared Goff his credit. He continued to produce. I love him.
Man, he's been playing better. He played better this year.
He's getting better and better.
Like, he's getting better and better. Like, he's
their franchise quarterback.
No question. Dicing it. He was dicing them up.
Yes.
I'm like, man.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you this, because we just talk about how people don't want to give people the proper credit. And I've said how you have been criminally underrated, Brandon Cooks. For you, Stephon Gilmore, I feel like in Buffalo, no one appreciated really what you did.
Man.
And then you get to New England, and it really, in the first year, I don't even know if people appreciated what you did. Because when you got that contract, everyone was like, they're paying him that much.
Yeah.
Bill's paying him with how Bill doesn't pay a lot of people that much money.
Yeah.
Did you start to feel that national respect come when you were in New England?
Yeah, for sure. I think, like you said before, I think just being in Buffalo, going through three different head coaches in 5 years, never going to the playoffs. I was playing great ball, but I was never getting recognized. And I think Bill saw that with me playing New England twice a year. And, you know, he know what I had. And I think that's why he was able to make that commitment to bring me over to New England.
Yeah.
And
it kind of reminds me when a lot of people – and you had a lot more popularity at this point than the player I'm going to bring up. But when they found a way to get Wes Welker – on the offensive side of the ball in New England, he was with Miami.
Exactly.
You making the sign, it was like, is Bill really going to whiff and give that much money to a guy that he has to prepare for being a defensive-minded coach two times a year?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like I said, when you know, once I got there and was able to make plays like I've normally been doing, everybody see it now. So I've been doing it my whole career. It's just, you know, you playing in Super Bowls, you going to the playoffs, you playing with Brady. You know, it's getting maximized. So,
Is this Cowboys locker room broken? Because when you have a performance like you guys did up against Green Bay, everyone just asked the question, why did that happen?
Nah, I wouldn't say broken. I just think they just had our number that day. They was more physical. We still hurt on the loss. Nobody wants to lose in the first round of the playoffs, but, you know, they was more physical than we was. Simple as that. They won up front. You know, they was able to play action pass and get us. And, you got to take your hats off to them.
Brandon, I'll ask you this just because right? You're with him every day, and he's on your side of the ball. You're in the meetings. Yeah. Dak Prescott, as a quarterback.
Dog.
Who is he?
Yeah, I mean, he's an elite tier one quarterback. That's just the simple truth. You look at his numbers this year. I think he, finished second and voted in the MVP. That's not by accident. He played at a high level. You know, at the end of the day, I got a lot of respect for him. I just don't understand sometimes the heat that he get. Obviously, part of that is putting that star on your helmet, right?
It's also in the postseason. This has been an organization that haven't been to an NFC title game since 1995.
I understand that, but it takes everybody, not just the quarterback as well. And I feel like we can help him. The weapons around them, the defense around them, coaches. You look at every quarterback that's been successful in the postseason, everyone else around them playing at a high level as well. So I think he gets too much heat than he deserves. I love him. He's a great dude. He's everything that you want in a quarterback, and you can win a Super Bowl with Dak Prescott.
You guys both played for Bill Belichick. There was a time where the rumors were there, McCarthy's going to get fired. We know that's not the case. He comes back. Even Jerry, though, after they brought back McCarthy's like, oh, I could have worked with Bill Belichick. Did that at all cross your mind that Bill was going to be coming to Dallas?
Not really, because you know you always see stuff like that and nothing happens, or you see it and it do happen. I mean, I've been in the league for 12 years. I just kind of like let stuff happen and then react after. So that's how I took it.
Is it easy to block out the distractions? Because like eventually you see everything, you hear everything, you kind of get immune to it. But we all grew up with cell phones in our hands connected to social media.
It's easy because at the end of the day, playing so many years, you see all those things and then nothing comes of it. So it's like, why am I gonna think something's true when most of the time it's just, you know, speculation? So you kind of just got to tune it up.
We'll talk about us in just a second. Brandon Cook, Stephon Gilmore here with us. I'm wondering, who's the toughest cornerback that you go up against when you go on the field on Sundays?
I have to say...
I had to change that question around because I know if you said it was in practice, you were going to say Stephon.
I have to say early on, he's just in my career so far.
Yeah.
Early on in my career, when I was young, rookie, second year, going against Pat P in his prime, was a great challenge, great matchup. Yeah.
And then for you, Stephon, who's the toughest wide receiver?
That I ever covered?
Yeah.
I'd say Calvin Johnson.
Yeah.
You was early on in your career.
Yeah, early in my career,
But was that like the moment you were like,
so I'm like, man, crap. This dude, 6'6", 250.
No doubt.
I'm a rookie. Yeah.
Did they give you any help?
No help. I was surviving, though.
Well, that's how they knew they believed in you, because I've seen some videos where there's like three guys up against Megatron. Yeah. They didn't want to humiliate you like that. Who do you guys like coming up in the game on Sunday? Who do you think ends up winning this football game?
Matter to me.
Yeah. I don't really care, but
it's hard to go against
Pat Mahomes, but San Fran's so loaded everywhere. So like I said, if Pat Mahomes win this game, I mean, he already elite, but he the GOAT.
He might if he win this game, I don't know that'd be
he
three,
one of the GOATs,
but that he already top three or top five of all time.
But there's a difference in saying, because this is what we do. We're all similar age. We say someone's the GOAT, but they're not number one.
One of the GOATs.
Okay, making sure.
He win this, he top three.
Because I think we all know still who the GOAT is, correct?
Yeah, I know who the Tom Brady.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
There's somebody creeping, though.
Mahomes?
If he win it, he creeping.
No, there's no doubt about it. He's in that top five.
20 what? I don't know what 20.
He young.
Yeah, no. He gets us. Tell us what we got cooking here today.
He gets us. It's a great organization that, you know, is based off faith. Based off treating people the right way, and just like I preach to my kids, you know, no matter how you look, no matter how you grow up, you know, black, white, Asian, you know, treat people with respect and show love.
Well, I appreciate both you guys joining us. Thanks so much, and good luck this offseason.
No
all right,
man. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
You got it. He's Stephon Gilmore, Brandon Cooks. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Chris Chapman's hit podcast was canceled.
As you know, my old show, The Chris Chapman Confrontation, was a victim of a little thing called cancel culture.
But he's learned, he's grown, and he's ready to win back his audience.
I'm back, better than ever, with The Chris Chapman Do-Over.
Starring Ike Barinholtz.
I have a new lady co-host on the pod.
Lisa Gilroy.
My mic is on!
And Neil Casey is the professor.
Greetings, my humans.
The new hit improv comedy, The Chris Chapman Do-Over. An Odyssey and Paper Kite production. Listen on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What a zoo, back inside Radio Row Mandalay Bay Convention Center, and we're here on a big football Friday. Now joining us, one of the greatest NFL running backs of all time on behalf of Nirvana Super, and that, of course, is Adrian Peterson. Adrian, how are you?
I'm awesome, man. I'm awesome. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. So, you know, it's funny. I always still refer to you as AP, and every time I call you AP, it's right away. No, it's AD. It's AD. It's AD. Do you even care anymore? Because I remember that was like a thing. Is it AP or is it AD? And then you said that it was AD for all day, right?
Yeah. It doesn't bother me. You know, I hear AD all the time, AP all the time. So either or, it's cool.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, AD is my preference if you want to know the difference. Yeah, AP. AD is.
And then take me through the diet when you were playing. Because weren't there always like some legendary stories how much candy you ate?
Yeah, you know, I was a big fan of ice cream.
Oh, yeah?
Big fan of Cold Stone down
there.
Oh,
the creamery, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I worked out a lot, too, so I was able to,
You could burn some calories.
Be fine. You know, but that's kind of how I combated it. I just made sure I stayed in the sauna, and I worked out a lot, so I was able to kind of get away with it.
Yeah, I don't think anyone ever said Adrian Peterson looked like he was out of shape in his football career. What was the Cold Stone creamery order? What were the toppings that you liked in your Cold Stone?
So I like either walnuts or pecans with either the brownie and chocolate and caramel, or I would go with the cookie dough. You know, so the cookie dough with the caramel and chocolate, and that was pretty much the route I went majority of the time.
Yeah, pretty much regular day guy, everyday guy, Adrian Peterson here with us. Looking at the Vikings, so now they're in an interesting spot, right? Mm-hmm. They have a lot of talent with guys like Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, but it seems like the organization, with Kirk being a free agent coming off the injury, is ready to move on and go in that next direction. That's like the sense that I get. Do you think that would be the right call, or should they maybe get a deal done with Kirk?
You know, it depends on who, if they do decide to move on, or if they're thinking along those lines. My question is, who are you bringing in?
Yeah, and Justin Jefferson was on with us yesterday, and I said, I don't think this would be the best option, but just because I don't think it's the best option doesn't mean it will happen.
Yeah.
I could see them, you know, signing Russell Wilson on the cheap, and then maybe drafting a quarterback late in the first round, you know, moving back up or where they are, like in the middle of the first round. And if you could get a Russell Wilson for a year on a cheap deal, and then maybe draft a Michael Penix Jr. or someone like that, that could be the potential plan, I think, for the Vikings.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, like I love Kirk Cousins. I have nothing but respect for him, and I think he's a great quarterback. But he kind of just like reminds me of a Jay Cutler. You know, like awesome quarterback, like a game manager, like. Not a game manager because he makes plays, you know, but he's just not, you know, he hasn't been able to get over that hump, you know, like to take the team down there, take over, you know, Patrick Mahomes type feel, you know, I'm like, I haven't seen that from him. And I think he has that within him. He just got to snap out of it and bring it to the forefront. If not, he's going to be in a position that he's in now where they're looking to move on from him, you know, so he has that ability. He just got to. He got to take it. He got to grab it. And he hasn't done it yet.
And you were a great player. And I don't use that word, like, just very easily. But now there's a lot of times where people say, oh, this person's a great player, and they're not. And then people get called a hater. Like, what I think you're saying is Kirk's a good player, a very good player. But I don't think he's ever a top five quarterback in this league or a great quarterback in this league that wins you a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and I don't think he's been that. You know, you look at his numbers. You know, his accuracy. I mean, you know, he's been efficient.
Yeah.
And everything.
Puts up good numbers.
But that's not getting it done.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I believe, because I've watched him play, I believe that he can be a top five quarterback. I believe he can be a quarterback that takes a team to the Super Bowl and wins. But it's something in his head that has to switch in order for him to be able to put the team on his back and do that, because he has that ability. He's been playing too well for too long. You know, so it's like it's something else that you gotta figure it out, Kirk. You gotta figure it out because you got it within you.
Talking to Adrian Peterson right now, the state of the running back position is very interesting because I remember in the summer, right? It seemed very negative. It seemed like no one was ever getting a contract extension ever again. And then it's like you see the way that the season plays out, and here we are in February, Super Bowl is getting ready, and good defense and being able to run the football. That still finds a way to win this time of the year, especially with someone like an Isaiah Pacheco and a Christian McCaffrey. Those two guys are going to have big-time impacts in the game coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's so unfortunate you know, what the running backs are going through right now, you know, and like you just said, and it's talked about every year. When it comes down to the playoff time, that running back position is the most critical position. That running back position is what they're feeding that guy, whether he's out and back, you know, he's out catching passes or he's running between tackles. You know, so I think, you know, these organizations just need to respect these players and pay them, you know, and they don't want to do that. You know, there's a lot of young backs coming out. They're using a lot of guys by rotating them and things like that. But like you say, Pacheco and Christian McCaffrey, like, these guys are elite type running backs, you know. So, you know, I see a great matchup happening, you know, with San Fran and that zone offense that they run. I feel like they'll have the upper hand. But then again, I know how my style was and how I played, and I feel like Pacheco, he runs the ball with that physicality that, yeah, I don't care what type of defense or how good your defense is, I'm finna run, you know, through this A-gap 100 miles per hour with a different mentality that you're not going to be able to match. So when you got a player like that, he's always going to be dangerous.
And when he got hurt for a little bit this year, I couldn't say it enough. That was an enormous loss for a while for them, because you're right, it's the physicality. Like, he may not be the best running back in football from a technique standpoint or whatever, but from a physicality, you just watch that guy. He reminds me a little bit about how you ran the football, how Derrick Henry runs the football with that physical style where you just see an intimidating force on the field and you go, man, I don't want to be a linebacker trying to tackle that.
Exactly, and that's something that you don't really see from a lot of running backs, you know, that Marshawn Lynch. Like, me and Marshawn, we were dogs, yeah. You know, you knew what you were going to get when we came through the hole, and you really don't see that often, you know. A guy like Joe Mixon, you know, when he's in there, you're able to see him show sparks of it. But this kid right here for Kansas City, is like every time he touches it, he's hitting 100 miles per hour.
Do you think that style maybe goes away and we don't see it as frequently now because of the business side of it, where guys are conscientious of, I only have so many years, mm-hmm, and teams are not looking to pay running backs, so if I am this physical running back, it's going to eventually be used against me in negotiations, because usually, you know what, that physicality usually leads to injuries.
Yeah. I definitely think that has a lot to do with it. You got guys that are making business decisions, you know. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that, because at the end of the day, it is a business, and they will let you go quick, you know. So I understand it. I hate it because it takes away from the game, you know. But you got certain guys like a Joe Mixon and this young guy for Kansas City, and Christian McCaffrey, that when they, you know, they're playing it with the passion and the love for the game, and it shows, you know. And there's a difference when you get a guy that, you know, and there's nothing wrong with picking up the first down and getting out of bounds, you know. But if it's a yard to go and you run out of bounds, I don't like that. You need to play football, dig down and go get the first down.
What's your thoughts, by the way? Because we talk about this rule all the time. When you fumble the ball out of the back of the end zone, do you think that should be a touchback and the ball goes to the other team?
It's been a rule that's been in play for a while, and, you know, it's kind of hard to do that. You know, like, you don't want a safety, and it's hard to be in a position. Well, people be in that position all the time, right? But I feel like we're so conscious of it that shouldn't happen. So yeah. I think, it should be a touchback.
And the reason I like it is everything now caters the offense. And that's the one rule that still caters the defense for making a good play. Yeah. So we've taken so much away from the defense. Can they at least have that? Because what you said is right. A lot of times people go, oh, well, he fumbled it. And I used to be this way. You fumble the ball out at the 1 yard line, you get it back right there. But if it's out of the end zone, you lose the football. But as it goes on, you hear Belichick coaches this all the time. Unless you have to reach out, and it's the game is on the line, don't reach out unless you know you're getting that ball over the goal line.
Yeah, and we've seen how critical that was with Baltimore. And
even Buffalo, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Right before that.
Yeah. So, it has the impact, man. And it was unfortunate, man, watching that game. I see as soon as he started reaching, I was like, he's a little too early with the reach, youngster. You know, at least start reaching when that ball is going to be crossing that line. You know, and it was just an unfortunate turnover for him, and it hurt him.
There's some guys that walk around here, even after being away from the game for a bunch of years, that still look like they could play. Like, T.O. was that way forever, and he still said, I could go out on the field every time. Do you still feel like you could play if you needed to?
Yeah, without a doubt.
So, like, let's say you get signed up for the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like, how many, like, do you have a limit on your carries, or you think you could be full go?
I think I'm gonna be honest with you because I haven't been working out in the past month or two, so I'm not gonna. I know I can go out there and be productive, but I'm not gonna sit here and make it seem like I would just go out there and just ball. Had I been working out and in better shape mentally, I would know that I could go out there and really put some work in.
Before we talk about Nirvana's Super, we'll do that in just a second. Everyone's favorite topic this week at the Super Bowl is Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. Knowing what it's like to be someone that's followed 24/7, right, as a great NFL player. What do you think of the whole relationship? I like it. I think it's fun.
Yeah, I think it's fun too. Obviously they're I don't know if they're in love, but it seems like it. But they're loving each other and they're just enjoying. Everything that comes with it. Is it good for football? I don't know. Who cares? I guess if Beyonce wasn't married and somebody was married to Beyonce, it would probably be the same type of feel. But it's cool, man. I have nothing but respect for Kelce. He's a baller. He's going out there and he's doing what he does. Right. He's showing up and he just happened to be someone that's already talked about. And, his girl just happened to be Taylor Swift.
Yeah, it's rare where the NFL has to genuflect to anyone because we know how much money it brings in and we know how much attention there is. But the ratings and the money from all this stuff, it's through the roof crazy where, even the NFL is probably like, okay, Travis, make sure you get married to Taylor Swift and if you're going to keep on playing for 3-4 more years. All righty, tell me what you're doing today with Nirvana Super.
Yeah, so I'm here with Nirvana Super. I've been with this company for 2 years. And it's a beverage line of water, a favorite water beverage infused with HMB. And that's something that the body, amino acid, the body normally creates for itself as well. But it's the only product on the market that's infused with HMB. And the benefits of it is it helps maintain lean muscle. It helps you build muscle as well. And it's vital. It has the vitamins and the nutrients that you need as well. And it's great for recovery, really great for recovery. I've been using it for a long time. People always come up and say, man, you're slimmer, but you're looking lean and you're looking good. Like you can still play. And, I can contribute that to the things I put in my body. And Navarre water is one of those things that I use. My son ran in the Junior Olympics last year and he got second in the 400.
Wow, congrats.
And but they had three heats. They had the semifinals and the finals. And I had them drinking. I had them down in these waters, man, just to get that recovery because it's a lot for a young 7-year-old, right? And, each time his time got faster. So I knew that the product was
How
working.
Old did you say, seven?
Seven, yeah.
So wow.
So his first.
He gonna play football?
I think he might be a track star. I'm gonna get him into baseball.
But a lot of money on those contracts.
I can see him,
they're all guaranteed.
Yeah, I can see him winning a gold medal. He ran a 110 and a 400, a 7.
Wow.
And then the semifinals, he ran a 108. And then in the finals, he ran a 106, like 106.2 at 7.
Well,
and,
good genes, right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, anyway, appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much. He's Adrian Peterson. There he is, Adrian Peterson, joining us on Radio Row inside the Mandalay Bay Convention Center. And that's actually going to conclude our coverage for the entire week. And what a week it has been. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone here on site, from Jeremy, Bobby, Dan, Gary. We have Howie, Frank, JT, Andy, Adam, Bruce, Spike, David, Ryan. Did I say Dan Silverman? If I didn't. Well, Dan, thank you so much. And I see right now Bobby's here. I see JT's here. And I see Jeremy's here. I don't know where Dan is. I think he already started to celebrate a little bit too early. But big thanks to everyone here on site. And also, obviously, my producer extraordinaire, Michael Samter and Stuart Kovacs back at our New York City studios. I'm going 49ers, 31, Chiefs 24. You're taking the Chiefs by what?
I'm taking the Chiefs by 10.
Chiefs by 10. Big Mike with
27-17. 27-17.
All right, that is by 10. At least we know that. Big thanks each and every one of you for listening all throughout the week. We'll be back on Monday live in New York City to recap the Super Bowl. We out. Bye-bye, everybody, from Radio Row in Mandalay Bay. Peace!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing, one retired cop returns...
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
I'm Tony, and this is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Wow, that makes it sound a bit more serious than it really is. So what exactly is the show about? It's been almost 30 years, and I still don't know. Right now, we have some of the best voices in football come on to explain to us what we need to know in the college and pro world, and we get weekly picks from a monkey. Do you really need more than that? I might just tell you about my bunker game and the latest failed entry in my quest to find the best coffee ice cream. No schmutz, please. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.